This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Well, hello, it's Justin Gephardt, shareholder of McGuire Sponsel. And continuing our little mini-series of kind of bringing some of our relationship managers out to the fold, I'd like to introduce everyone to Mike Hamill, one of my colleagues today. Mike is a relationship manager that oversees a lot of relationships really down in the Southeast. So when we say Southeast, we're kind of talking in that Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, up into Virginia, and parts of Florida frame. And, you know, and one unique thing about Mike is we'll get into his story, is he's, you know, I've always looked at Mike, he's a younger guy in our industry, but he's got the old school ways. And a lot of that speaks to some of the experience and how he grew up. And it's kind of a welcoming approach with our alliance firms. So with that, I'll kind of kick it over to Mike a little bit and let him give a little bit of his background.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate being on here today. But really, as Justin was explaining, my name is Mike Hamill. I'm one of the relationship managers here at McGuire Sponsel. Feel like I've been around the firm for a long time. But if you look at the numbers of it, I've been here for about 2 to 3 years, basically serving the Southeast region of the United States with CPA firms. But going back on the background piece of it, I say I grew up in public accounting because my dad has been around in public accounting for probably 30 plus years. Knew I wanted to be in the CPA industry just for the fact of being with clients, serving clients, and assisting them with their needs, I've really enjoyed. So I've grown up in meetings with my dad, from people coming over to the house, having those discussions, meeting some of his clients, and going on and just, you know, traveling around when I was playing college baseball, and we'd sit in a car and I'd listen to a conversation that he would have with his clients, and I've really enjoyed that piece of it. And then now moving into kind of the McGuire Sponsel piece, I'm young in the industry, but I feel like I speak the language of accounting as well as into the tax world. I enjoy that piece because it's all about kind of playing a puzzle and figuring out a solution that fits CPA firms and their clients.
So Mike, as you're sitting across the table from a CPA that may not know of McGuire Sponsel, can you share a little about what makes McGuire Sponsel different from those in the industry? Okay, you've got those firms out there that do R&D, they do cost seg. Okay, it's easy to sit there and say, yeah, we do that better. But can you speak a little bit more in detail about this, the special value that we bring to CPA firms?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it runs into our core values, really. Trusted partners, proven solutions. So I would say one of the biggest pieces is trusting that client-CPA relationship. So for example, if a CPA brings us into the fold and we're able to provide solutions for them to their clients, is just being able to understand that relationship, because that is key with CPA firms, is not being able to go direct to the client. Also is our technical expertise in the industry, from Dave McGuire to Sean King. TJ's been around for a long time in the R&D space. And now with Jerry Hamill being on board as well with the CPA firm experience, is that we have a very technical depth of knowledge in tax. Also, it speaks to our culture a little bit too when talking to CPA firms, to where we align with them, because everybody's pretty much coming out of public accounting, has that experience being in public accounting, and just being with them throughout the tax planning process. So, you know, we've been around since 2007. We have a lot of experience in the CPA world. But one of the biggest things I always stress is just the relationships. We value relationships with CPA firms or service providers across the country. And we treat their client better than they ever would, because we are the ones that are representing the CPA firm in this case, whereas a CPA firm can maybe get on their client where we're just going to treat them the way that they are treated with that CPA firm. So I would say just really it boils down to the relationship we have with the CPA firm, as well as just us knowing public accounting and how it works plays to our favor when we're dealing with CPA firms.
Yeah, you mentioned the relationship aspect. I couldn't agree with you more. It's something, again, we put a lot of value in. And again, I think it truly sets us apart is that relationship aspect. You know, we just went through a year of crazy times, you know, where sometimes those relationships, you know, they suffered a little bit, you know, from an industry standpoint. We hear from our CPA firms all the time, you know, we got through this, our billings are great, but you know what, the development of our staff kind of was hit and miss because we weren't in person, we didn't have those relationships. I look at what you and some of the other guys in our firm in terms of solidifying those relationships in that hard time. It was text messages, you know, throughout the night with CPAs, just not even talking about cost seg R&D, it's more talking life. Mm-hmm. And you know, I give you guys a lot of credit for that, being able to watch that from afar, watch what you guys are doing. But could you kind of talk about, share some of those conversations you have with CPAs in the last year, not only just again from a how are you doing life standpoint, but some shop talk sessions and give us a little light on that.
Yeah, no, a lot of with 2020 being a crazy year, it's been shifted more towards just looking at, you know, you have your business meetings, you want to talk work and what's going on with their clients, but also, you know, 2020 was a tough year, so you pivot and talk personal. So I would say a lot of the relationships that the firm has in the Southeast and the ones I'm communicating with, I have their cell phone numbers, we're texting back and forth, we're talking about sports, we're talking about what their kids are doing, because I grew up playing sports, and so that's one way I relate a lot with our CPA partners. But really, it's just being there for them, not so much on a business side, but personally, you know, making sure their minds are right, making sure the firms are doing okay, because like I said earlier, we align really well with CPA firms because we pretty much operate like a CPA firm, to where we understand kind of the pain points and what they're going on throughout the year. But there's a firm down in Alabama I do a lot of work with, and I'm texting their partners or managers probably daily. You know, it's not so much about work. It's just checking in with them, making sure they're doing okay, making sure their family's doing okay, in various ways I can help. You know, it's not just how can I help with R&D, international cost seg, or C&I practice. It's just how can I help you with life, you know? If that's helping me, you know, one of their sons out with tax stuff that's going on, or if they need to kind of, because I am younger, to where, like, they're going through that job hunting process. I've talked to a few partners with their kids on, well, you're in a consulting route, well, what's the difference between public accounting and what you're doing? You know, or is Big Four, like going through that Big Four interview process, what's that like compared to a regional firm? And kind of helping them out, just not so much with business, but also with, you know, their personal day-to-day lives.
So as you highlight and you kind of bring up the pain points that we deal with and that we see the CPA firms with their clients interact, what are those pain points you're referring to?
So for pain points in the world of coronavirus for 2020 was really, we talked a little bit on like developing people was one of the biggest things and from a culture standpoint, because at McGuire Sponsor, we have a very strong culture where we're all connected. And some of the firms that I'm talking to on a daily basis, they were lacking in the training, development, and culture of the firm, and they had worries about kind of where they were going to go next year, 2 years from now, or even 3 to 5 years from now. So that was one big pain point. Also during the year was just, you know, everybody's going through struggles because of COVID, and really, they really appreciated us pivoting and being more of a technical resource than so much pushing cost seg, R&D, international, or whatever we're talking to their clients on, more of just saying, how can we help? Because sometimes, you know, projects don't always pan out, or it's something to where, you know what, we can help the firm on a technical piece with technical information coming out. So I would say the biggest pain point is culture, but the second one really is just being that resource to those CPA firms, making sure that we're not pushing in a way that kind of goes against them, but they just want us to be there as a technical resource, as an extension to their firm, because I want to position ourselves as their specialty tax solution, where they pick the phone up, call us every day on, you know, not just a project, but on a question that arises for R&D, whether or not to do the 280C election on this return, if they're going to claim the credit in the current year, or something like that. It's more of a relationship, but those are the two biggest pain points.
So as we look ahead, you know, from a planning standpoint, okay, you talked a little bit about how we approach the COVID dynamic from our firm, and that we really kind of doubled down on our technical resource. You know, hundreds of webinars that we hosted with that, thousands upon thousands of attendees. I remember one of the first webinars we did on the CARES Act. We had some difficulty with the webinar program just kind of shutting down because of the amount of attendees mm-hmm. we had. I think we had two or three, I mean, in one day, and each one had, you know, several thousand attendees. Looking at all that piece, and I say all that to reiterate kind of the technical aspect. As we transition from that year of 2020 and look ahead into 21, where do you see the planning opportunities specifically as we look at the specialty tax realm? Okay, as you know, and getting into C&I, as people are adding jobs, you know, as businesses continue to expand or reach new areas, what are some of those planning opportunities that clients and CPAs should be aware of?
No, that's a great question. And one of the key things McGuire Sponsal has always said is, you know, cash is king for 2021 and moving forward. So for C&I, people now that were furloughed coming back into operations is a big thing. So if we're hiring people, maybe, you know, in the year of 2021, there might be a lot of acquisitions happening. So the C&I practice, there's a good planning opportunity there that we could help on the state and local tax side. On the R&D side, really, it's a valuable tax planning tool to keep cash in a business. And so now bringing back those employees, kind of playing the interplay really with how the R&D credit and some of the new legislation coming out with that CARES Act and some of the other acts that came after it, where the employee retention credit intersects with the R&D credit, and whether or not you can claim the R&D credit in the first quarter if you had a certain employee that was doing the employee retention credit and the R&D credit. So I've had a lot of discussions on those two pieces, just because, you know, with the new legislation popping out, the employee retention credit is one of the newer pieces in the tax legislation. And so you can't claim two credits on the same expense. So they're looking at that piece and whether or not the R&D credit's more valuable than the employee retention credit, as well as kind of the 280C election on planning opportunities, because you can't take the 280C election on an amended return if we're looking at prior years. But a lot of companies are now shifting towards like that PPE aspect, whether or not they can claim the R&D credit if now they're going to create masks or hand sanitizer and things like that. But those are some planning opportunities on the R&D piece. Internationally, I would say in that space really is just being able to reduce your tax rate. You know, you look at, if you have operations sitting overseas and you're moving products, people, cash into those jurisdictions. Well, you know, right now we're trying to keep cash in a business, and one of the key ways in doing that is looking at your tax rate. So if you look at the global effective rate, we've done a lot of work with, you know, global restructuring and figuring out, well, you have six entities, do you really need two of them? And, you know, can we reduce your global rate? And with that international piece, really, is on due diligence. So we tie back to the credits and incentives piece where there's a lot of acquisitions going on. And we've seen on the international piece where the mergers and acquisitions is a big ticket to where, you know, you have firms out there that do M&A work or private equity firms right now that are kind of going out and buying smaller companies. So the international piece, we've seen a lot of opportunities where we can get plugged into due diligence on mergers and acquisitions to help with the planning pieces of it, making sure the compliance is set up, or whether or not, you know, you might need a transfer pricing study on file for companies that are set up, you know, if it's a 71 or a 5472, one of those two pieces, on how we can help use it as more of a sword and not a shield, because we're trying to utilize the study to reduce the global effective tax rate. And that's really the ultimate goal with the international practice. And then cost segregation, it's definitely been, I would say, one of the hotter spaces that we focus into right now, just because there's 100% bonus depreciation. And so in a market where it is now, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act really opened up cost segregation because we're able to use 100% bonus depreciation on purchased property. And so now with acquisitions, you know, in the smaller basis world, we were able to do a study on. And also going back to being that technical resource, you know, QIP's around right now. And so a lot of people shifted and are now doing renovations in their offices since no one's in the office right now. And they're finding time to do that. So now really, you know, looking at a renovation budget and being a resource to CPA firms in the QIP piece to where, you know, it's like, hey guys, you don't need us for a study here because it's all QIP eligible. And so those are two areas that we've seen a lot of, I would say, discussions on is the QIP and 100% bonus depreciation and where tax rates are going with the new administration. So those are three items on the cost seg piece that we're looking at for planning opportunities.
So Mike, sitting across the table from you, I'm a CPA, and we hear this all the time. You know, hey, that's great. Love the services you offer. Love you guys, trust you guys, want to work with you. When do I call you? Could you highlight, you know, whether it's R&D, whether it's cost seg, when does it make sense to pick up a phone or shoot a quick email over to have a discussion?
Yeah, I would say it's funny because, you know, people always look at, you know, if it's R&D, we got to see a certain amount of people, or, you know, you got to see a certain amount of revenue amount. Well, that's not the case. I would say anytime you have a company that's designing a new product, process, or technology, pick the phone up and call us, because we will be one of the first ones to tell you, yes, there is an opportunity, or no, there's not. Or you know what, maybe this year doesn't make sense for the R&D credit, but next year does. So really it's get us introduced to the process as soon as possible, just from a planning perspective. And then on the cost seg piece, you know, you own a building and say it's, you know, $750,000 or more. We can run some numbers and figure out, you know, what are we going to break out in short life? But on that piece of it, you know, it's minimal documentation up front to run some numbers and put numbers to the concept. But again, it's as early as possible in that cycle. It doesn't have to be something where, you know, you only do a study in the year you buy a building or build a building. You know, we do a lot of work and looking in the rearview mirror to kind of figure out, you know what, you built a building or purchased a building in 2010. Well, does it make sense to run some numbers? Or you get a new client coming on board, scrub the depreciation schedule. Send us the depreciation schedules. We'll let you know if there's opportunity sitting in 39 or 27 and a half year life, and then circle right back with you all to then present to your client. The international piece, I would say, you know, we have a motto saying we support CPA firms, not supplant CPA firms. And so, you know, some CPA firms have an international tax practice where they'll handle all inbound investments. Well, we can help protect on the outbound investments and handle some of the outbound work and work as a team with their current international practice to help assist what they're going on through right now. And so transfer pricing is a big piece, just because you file one of those forms, the 5471 or a 5472, you have to have one on file, because there's some significant penalties that could be up in the $25,000 range if those aren't filed. But really, if we can get plugged into an international practice, if it's currently there, or if there's not one there, how can we think of us as an extension to your firm, get plugged into your tax planning on the international side, so it can help CPA firms keep clients and retain those clients. On the credits and incentives piece, I would say this is the different, I wouldn't say different practice line, but one of the ones where you really have to be out in front of it. So the minute a shovel's in the dirt, the minute you hire people, the minute you buy a building, you lose out on some of your incentive dollars, because it's all about leverage and what you have with the municipalities, the state and local officials. So for example, if I'm gonna build a hotel and I already buy land and I'm already started construction on it, well, I have no leverage to go back to that specific municipality to where I can go and get incentive dollars, maybe a TIF, an abatement, whatever it is. So you have to be out in front of those projects, because it's all about leverage and framing a story to figure out what's best for that specific client. So the credits and incentives practice, when you're looking at finding opportunities or getting plugged into tax planning, the minute you see that payroll's increased year over year with a client, get us involved. Just because there's some significant dollars that a client can save. If, you know, each state's different, so there's a lot of research up front, but the earlier the better, because once we've been brought in at the end, the opportunities have kind of been lost with the client, and it turns more into an education with the client if they do it again, but which is never a bad thing, and it's just further educating. And I think a lot of what we do is, you know, hopping on a phone call, shoot us a quick email, just to educate what makes up a good opportunity and when to bring us in the fold.
You know, one thing I always kind of talk with our CPA firms and alliance members is, yes, we want to take care of current clientele, but I always strongly urge, you know, I understand the CPA, you want to grow too. And so as you're out prospecting, a lot of these specialty tax areas are really good ways to get your foot in the door, because we see it all the time where certain providers aren't bringing these discussions in front of their clients. And you know what? It may not always make sense. There may not be an opportunity there. And as Mike alluded to earlier, we'll be the first ones to say it. But I think it's one of those situations where it helps show you're kind of thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage everyone, you know, that's listening and down in the Southeast and kind of listening and learning a little bit about Mike, to use Mike as a resource, not only with current clients, but on the prospecting trail. So, you know, as we wrap up today, Mike, I thank you for your time. Everybody's listening, I thank you guys for your time, and look forward to a good rest of the 21. Hopefully we finish it strong.
Exactly. No, I appreciate being on.
Absolutely. So thank you, and you guys have a good day.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuireOnTheWire@McGuireSponsel.com.